The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will glorify and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You and I need this solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. We need it for our spiritual life. We need it as a reminder of the great mystery that we have been initiated into as Christians. Oftentimes, when I think about God, when I pray to God, I domesticate God. I try to bring him down to my level. I think about him in terms of categories that don't do justice to God's mystery. Consider the way that you think about God, relate to God when you pray. I suspect that I'm not the only one who tends to think about God and to pray to God as a kind of a top person, sort of a smarter, more powerful version of a human person, a smarter, more powerful version of myself, perhaps. And that's understandable that we do that kind of thing. We're human beings, we think in human categories, but if we're not careful, we might reduce God to, again, a smarter, more powerful version of ourselves. Sometimes it's said, sometimes we read that God is personal. And when we say that God is personal, or when we pray to God, thinking that God is a person, we conceive of God as a being who thinks, who understands, who wills. But we do that, I think. We think about God as personal, as a way of bringing God down to our level. The feast of the Most Holy Trinity reminds us that God is not personal. God is tri-personal. It's much more comfortable for us to think of God as just a top person. That way we can wrap our mind, that's an idea that we can wrap our minds around. But God is a mystery which we cannot wrap our minds around. St. Augustine has a beautiful saying. He says, if you can comprehend it, it's not God. And this mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, the mystery into which we were introduced, the mystery which is the very foundation of our Christian life, but also the goal of our Christian life, puts us face to face with God's incomprehensibility. In the Gospel today, Jesus stresses, if you will, the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says that what the Spirit will transmit to you and me, all of that belongs to Him, to Jesus, to the eternal Son, the eternal Word. What belongs to the Son belongs completely to the Spirit, and the Spirit transmits that, the Spirit conveys that to us. But Jesus also says that everything that the Father has is mine. Everything that the Father has is of Jesus too. Everything that Jesus has belongs to the Spirit too. There is unity between Father and Son and Spirit. Perfect unity. We don't, after all, believe in three gods. Again, if we believed in three gods, that would be so much easier to wrap our minds around, wouldn't it? Father, Son, and Spirit are of the same substance, of the same essence. The Father, the Son, the Spirit are perfectly united and equally God. But yet, in this mystery of unity, there is also distinction. There is also difference. The Son shares everything with the Father, except only the Father is Father. Only the Father loves the Son into being from all eternity. The Spirit shares everything with the Son and with the Father, except for only the Spirit is breathed forth by the Father and Son together from all eternity. The Son shares, the Father shares everything with the Son and the Spirit, except for only the Father is Father. The Son shares everything with the Father and the Spirit, except only the Son has been begotten by the Father alone, has been loved into being by the Father alone. So there's unity, but each of the three persons has something distinct, something that's not shared or communicated with either of the other two. Only the Father loves the Son into being. Only the Son is begotten by the Father, and only the Spirit is breathed forth by Father and Son. This is a mystery which, to take our cue from Augustine, we cannot comprehend. We cannot comprehend the most perfect unity. Unity with respect to substance, with respect to what God is. Perfect unity, but at the same time, difference, distinction with respect to the three persons. Three in one, one in three, perfect unity, perfect distinction. In a sense, the fact that we cannot comprehend it, that we can't wrap our minds around this extraordinary mystery, is proof that it's true. No human being would have ever cooked up such an incomprehensible doctrine. Right? The things that we cook up are always things that are made after our image and likeness, to the measure of our own intellect. This mystery surpasses our intellect, and therefore it can only come from one source. It can only come as something revealed by God. Jesus himself reveals this triune reality of God most perfectly to us when he offers his life for us on the cross. Jesus, the eternal Son, having appeared in time, having taken on a nature like our own, a human nature, offers his life for us to glorify the Father. And he offers that life in the power of the Spirit. And Jesus reveals the mystery of who God is as the mystery of love. As I said, it's the Father's love which from all eternity begets the Son. The Son is the fruit of the Father's eternal love. And the Father and the Son together breathe forth in their love the Holy Spirit. God is not a top person. God is a community of three persons bound by eternal love. Eternal, unbounded generosity. Gift of self. A gift of self that Jesus reveals to us perfectly on the cross. Even from all eternity, before there were any creatures, before there was the Big Bang, God was never alone. God was always in this community of persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. One in substance, three with respect to persons. And the good news of our faith is, I alluded to it a moment ago, that our whole lives as Christians, it's all about sharing in this triune communion of love with God. It's not for nothing that we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized, God welcomed us into that community of love. God gave us to participate in that eternal love of Father, Son, and Spirit. And our whole growth in the Christian life is all about growing to participate, to share more deeply in the love of the three divine persons. That love and our share in it, our share in that love is nourished every time we come to the Eucharist. Together we offer the sacrifice of Christ's body and blood because that's the sacrifice that gives glory to the Father, that testifies to our love for the Father in Christ. We eat the body and blood of Jesus. But we also receive the Spirit every time we take the Eucharist. Of course, the offering is itself made in the Spirit. But the Spirit also has glorified the humanity of Jesus. The Spirit is always in union with Jesus, the Son of God made man. So when we eat the body of Christ, when we drink his blood, we are also eating and drinking the Spirit. We are brought even closer to an even more intimate participation in the triune life of God every time we celebrate the Eucharist, every time we eat Christ's body and drink his blood. And this gives us our mission. If God is a communion of persons, and if our Christian life is all about sharing in that communion, then our mission is to share that communion with others. God, who is always self-gift, transforms us so that we can give of ourselves to others, that we can pour out our lives in our families, in our places of work, to both our friends and to our enemies, and invite them to share with us this awesome communion of triune life and love. We have our mission. It's a mission that we received at baptism. It's a mission that's nourished every time we draw close to the Trinity at Mass. That mission is to share that communion, that Trinitarian communion of life and love with every person that we meet. So let's be grateful that God's not a person. That God is not something that we can make according to the measure of our mind, but that God is eternal mystery of one in three. One in three, a communion to which each of us is invited.